And welcome to ABC's Christmas morning service. It's wonderful to have everyone here. We're glad that you braved the weather and made it here successfully. And we pray that this next 45 minutes or so will be a blessing to you. You can see in your worship folder that there was one thing that I didn't do last night was tell you that all the songs that we're singing are in, were in the packet that you had last night. It's the same thing for you this morning. All the songs that we're singing, the words are in your packet. And so that's how you can sing along. And if since we're not going to have any kind of a prayer and request time this morning, we're going to have prayer, okay? But since we're not going to have our normal sharing time, use that little friendship register insert in there to send notes to me what we should be praying for, what your concerns are, or whatever. So let's just be blessed as we worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be in your presence. We're thankful that you are Emmanuel, God with us. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that you are present with your people. And we just thank you that we can celebrate this time, that we know the real reason there is joy to the world. And we pray, Lord, that as we learn what it means to have your favor resting on us, that we would be blessed and take that blessing on. We worship you now. Amen and amen.
Find our rest in thee. I'll use this one. Before we do our reading, I get to embarrass Heather. So this has actually been in the works since before Thanksgiving, and Heather put so much time into helping the girls and just blessing us with her gifts. So here is a thank you gift, Heather. to say thank you for putting the dance together and working with our girls and spending time outside of that practice, watching the videos and seeing what they could do. So thank you so much. We appreciate it more than you will know. All right, so now we can do our reading. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
In the beginning, we had peace with God and with each other. When we chose our way instead of God's way, traded our peace for conflict and war. Humankind ruled with iron fist, and so God wiped all the people but Noah and his family off the face of the earth with a flood. As the waters dried, Noah sent a dove from the ark to search for dry land. It returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf. The dove was now a symbol of peace. The flood didn't solve our problem. We still wage war and hurt each other, but God promised to never send a flood like that one again. He put a rainbow in the sky as a reminder of this promise of peace. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word for rainbow normally refers to a warrior's bow. If God were to fire his bow, the arrow would not strike us, but go straight up into God's very own heart. To make lasting peace, God will have to wage war not upon humankind, but upon himself. Generations later, God chose a man he named Abraham to start a new people. God promised that through his descendants, he would bless all people on earth.
From Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Over 1,000 years later, a prophet named Isaiah prophesied that a human child was coming who would be both the mighty God and the Prince of Peace.
Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Now, as we light the candle of peace, we remember how the mighty God has given us the Prince of Peace through the birth of a small child into the family of Abraham. We remember at Christ's baptism how the Holy Spirit landed on him like a dove. We remember the spear thrust into his side at the cross, God's arrow finally hitting its mark. We remember how the Christmas child grew up and took God's curse upon himself so God might give anyone who believes in Jesus Christ eternal and everlasting peace.
Everyone, Jesus. trust in him. Today the light of his birth thrills us with hope and brings peace on earth. Jesus, born on this day, he is our light and salvation. Oh, Jesus, born on this day, he is the King of all nations. Today, born on earth. Today the glory of God shines everywhere for all of the world. He is light, he is love, he is grace. Born on Christmas Day, he is
repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
I love that song so much.
Me too. Joy to the world, Lord has come.
Yes, it's one of my favorites too.
Dad, how come those people that we saw at the store look so sad? Isn't Christmas supposed to make everyone happy?
That's true. Not everyone is happy at Christmas. But joy is about more than being happy.
That's right. The Bible tells us that there is a kind of joy that triumphs over the sad parts of life, like Nehemiah 8, verse 10, which says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength."
That's the kind of joy that makes it possible to smile even on the bad days.
I don't like bad days.
No, neither do I. But Jesus came to live like us and to die for us so that we could experience true joy.
Or, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Wait, so Jesus was happy that he died on the cross?
Yeah, I thought that was sad.
Jesus died for us as a gift. He knew that his death would mean that we could live with him forever. Sometimes when things are hard, we forget that. But Jesus knew it. And he had joy because he knew that death was not the end, but the beginning.
So when we go through hard times,
like having a no good bad day,
we can find joy in the promise that Jesus has a plan.
It says in 1 Peter 4, verse 13, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed.
So Jesus has a plan?
That's right. Christmas means that Jesus is the King. Someday, maybe someday soon, Jesus will reveal himself as the world's true King.
Does that mean I get to be a princess?
Of course it does. Let's light this candle to remind us that Jesus is the King.
And that everyone who trusts in him will find true joy.
Please stand with us this morning as we sing the Chris Tomlin Hymn of Joy arrangement of Joyful, Joyful.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
All thy works with joy.
All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee. Center of
The big story of the Bible is all about the one true God who chooses to love unlovable people. After Moses brought the people of Israel safely out of slavery in Egypt, they came to a mountain called Sinai, where God made a special covenant promise to love and care for them. Yet even as God was making this promise, they made a golden calf to love and worship. In Exodus 32, we see God would have destroyed the people in that moment if Moses had not cried out for mercy. But in Exodus 34, we see that God did more than relent. He came down in a cloud and renewed his covenant promise. In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, we read the Lord God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Across the Old Testament, in the books of Numbers, Psalms, Jeremiah, Jonah, Nehemiah, and Joel, this passage becomes a rallying cry for the people to repent when they sin, receive forgiveness, and experience God's love anew. That promise of a compassionate and gracious God flows into the New Testament, and among other places, it's found in the Gospel of John, where we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14.
Before I read this, as I stood here for the next passage, I looked down, and the first line was highlighted. It's not highlighted on my paper. It was as if the sun, the shadow, came through and touched this line. And it says, "God's glory came down at Sinai, shrouded by a cloud, but at the birth of Jesus, God's glory came down, shrouded in human form." And it was highlighted before I read this. At Sinai, God dwelt in a tent called a tabernacle. And in John's gospel, God made his dwelling among us. God came to the Israelites full of grace and love. So Jesus, in John's gospel, comes to us full of grace and truth. This leaves us with a question, though. Aren't we all guilty of our sin? So then how can God both love and punish the guilty? The answer is that God gave us love and satisfy his justice by taking the punishment we deserve upon himself. Jesus, God made flesh, paid for our sins with his own life so that we might live. Therefore, the cross is where justice and love meet. Now, as we light this candle of love, we thank God for who he is. We praise him for his compassionate, gracious, and loving character, and that he came to rescue us from our sins and grant us eternal life. We thank God for loving us enough to take our punishment upon himself at the cross. And at Christmas, we thank God that when he came into this world, he didn't come shrouded by a cloud, but was fully revealed in a small baby boy named Jesus.
Sometime after the child was born, wise men came from the east to see the child king. And they brought him gifts, fit for a king. In this body, we gather our gifts before the altar of the Lord, that they may be a blessing to the people around us, to the ministry of this church. So as the ushers come forward, let's give our gifts to the newborn king. Thank you.
This week I was, we were getting the carpets cleaned, and that moved things out of the sanctuary, and so Jason and Jeffrey practiced that right outside my door, and then Lydia and Jason practiced as well, and it just really got me in the spirit. I'm lighting the last candle, the final candle. We lit it last night. Foster lit it for us, the Christ candle, because that's what this is all about. Alistair Begg is one of my favorite preachers. I could listen to his Scottish accent all day long, but that's not just it. He's an amazing theologian. He says, the fantastic story of Christmas is not that we should make ourselves acceptable to God, but rather that God has come in the person of Jesus, stepped into time in order to provide the answer to the predicament that we face. That's the gospel right there. That is the gospel. I'm saying because the very meaning of the word gospel, and I know that most of you already know this, but the very definition of the word gospel, when translated, is good news. Good news. It's good news that Jesus came into humanity to rescue us from the predicament that without him, we're lost. That's our predicament. Without him, we're lost. Yes, we're lost. Last night, I talked about how we need to be the light of the world to a dark world. It's easy to get lost in the dark. You trip over things. You don't see what's in your way. You run into trouble. But Jesus Christ, who is the light of life, is good news of great joy. So when the angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night, we know the Christmas carol, but it's true. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When that angel said that, he wasn't trying to come up with words that would sound great in a Christmas carol a couple of thousand years later. He was saying that because it was good news. Those shepherds needed good news. Joseph and Mary really needed good news. The world needed good news. And the world still needs that good news. For the past month, we have used the theme, "A Weary World Rejoices." It's a play on the words from that song that we sang as Ron and Linda accompanied us. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Our world is weary. Our world is weary. But we have the fantastic story of Christmas, which brings the thrill of hope to the hopeless. And that's good news of great joy. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel has come to us. God with us. And that's what makes Christmas merry. Amen. Amen. Let's sing and close out our service together. Singing Angels from the Realm of Glory, let's stand and sing. To God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. God is pleased with you. Continue pleasing God and go in peace. Merry Christmas to you. Amen.